Some months ago, my wife and I decided that in order to continue living at our present home, we would have to see if we could raise some capital by using an equity release plan to be secured on our house. All seemed to be going well until our house was surveyed. And it was surveyed to ensure that the property represented a reasonable asset as security for this particular plan. Unfortunately, the surveyor was not impressed with the house. This was because at the back of our house we have a narrow patio area and an outbuilding and a rear boundary that is at the top of a very steep slope that is not very far from vertical. And there has been a degree of movement. Now, the dreaded word subsidence was written into the surveyor's report, despite the fact that we'd informed the surveyor that the house had in fact been built on a firm rock foundation. We were advised to get a structural engineer to tell us what we needed to do in order to make sure that everything was safe and secure. Now, in his report, the structural engineer recognised three facts that were pertinent to the property. Firstly, that the rock upon which the house was built was slate, and that it rose at an almost vertical angle. Secondly, he said that the rock itself could have fractured and be moving, although he felt that that was extremely unlikely. And thirdly, finally, he said that there could be water penetrating our patio that was leaching the earth from underneath the patio, the outbuilding and the boundary wall and causing the whole thing to shift. Now, the engineer suggested that we engage a builder to dig two trenches at specific sites so that we could investigate the cause of the movement. Now, in view of our financial state, we obviously could not afford to pay a builder to come in to undertake the work. So, you know, I had to do it myself. Now, my son and I had originally laid the patio about 20 years ago. And whilst laying the patio, we had not seen anywhere for the water from a downpipe at the back of our house to escape to beyond our wall. So, you know, we thought, well, you know, something is awry here. So I mentioned this to the structural engineer and I said, look, I'm going to start the trenches at the site right by where the water downpipe comes at the back of the house and see exactly what is happening there. So I dug the first trench there, and it's something like 8 feet long, 18 inches wide, and between 2 feet and 3 feet, 6 inches deep. Now, as you can imagine, there was a fair amount of rock, soil, and rubble to be moved, just to find out where the water was going. Now, I don't know how many of you experienced digging a trench of this sort. It isn't easy, as I discovered. I found it was almost impossible to get a spade into the ground. Maybe I just don't have the muscle for it, but after lifting the patio slabs, I found that I could only drive the blade of the spade into the ground by about an inch or so at each particular time. And this is because every time I put the spade into the ground, I was hitting something solid. Now, the something solid I was hitting was not that big. Usually it was a piece of slate, probably about an inch square or an inch thick. You know, it was something relatively small, but it stopped the spade going in. And in the end, I was coming up against this every so often. I almost thinking about giving it up, but you know, I had to keep on going because, you know, obviously I couldn't afford to bring somebody in to do the work for me. Now, because I was continually hitting these comparatively small pieces of slate, there were times when I felt like throwing the whole thing in. And it was at this time that a particular scripture came to my mind, and I felt that it was a very accurate translation from the spiritual to the physical and vice versa. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 29, verse 18. Because throughout the task that I had before me, I had to have a vision of having completed what I had started. It is the same for every Christian. We must keep that vision alive. And not only that, we must see ourselves as having accomplished the task and reach the goal which we had set our minds on. Because without picturing ourselves as completing the task, we are not going to succeed. Now, here in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, we find the following words of wisdom. And these will enable each and every one of us to overcome the obstacles that we will encounter in life. Keeping this vision alive is an absolute priority. Now, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 reads as follows. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, keeping the vision alive indicates that the follower of Jesus Christ is expected to be actively engaged in the undertaking of whatever he is about. It is not just sitting back and hoping. In some ways, it's like digging my trench, trying to find where the rainwater went when it came down that pipe at the back of the house. And, you know, trying to find out what carried that vast amount of water away. Because, you know, the last few days, we must have had about 3 or 4 inches of rain. And the area at the back of our house, we've got a flat roof, which is about 18 feet by 12, plus a pitch roof on the other side of that. So all that water was coming down that one pipe and going somewhere. We had to find out where it was going. Now, I had to dig and keep on digging, despite hitting the stones, rubble and slate. In the end, I was reduced to digging with what amounted to a small builder's trowel and a hand shovel. That's the only way I continued to make any progress with my task. You know, I just hadn't got the muscle to use a spade and a shovel without chipping away with this little trowel. Now, in the Gospel account, which is by Luke, in chapter 14 and verse 27, we find another scripture that is pertinent to this concept of enduring to the end, of having a vision of completing our task. Here we have to make certain that we are going to be able to finish any particular task that we begin. Once begun, one is often faced with three stark choices. One, to continue. Two, to change tack. Or to give up. And the third choice is just not an option for a Christian. And in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, we begin reading there. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, doesn't sit down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he has begun, after he's laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him. Now, I don't want to trivialise this subject, but I knew that I could not afford the money needed to hire the skilled labour with heavy equipment to do the task that I had to have completed for me. And it was at hand, decidedly at hand, decidedly manual. And for my age, I'm reasonably fit. And in the course of the excavations that I've completed thus far, I must have moved something like a ton and a half of earth, slate and rubble. I mean, it really was hard labour. Straight down at the base of the downpipe, I found under the patio that the downpipe came to a junction to a cast iron pipe that went the length of the width of the patio and out under the wall. The only problem was that the downpipe is plastic, the joint at the bottom of the plastic pipe is also plastic, supposedly joining up to the steel, this cast iron pipe. Unfortunately, the plastic had severed, so for the past 40 years, it would have been coming straight down the pipe and straight out between the plastic and the cast iron into the ground and leaching away the earth from underneath the patio, taking the earth away underneath the outhouse and from underneath the wall and causing all that movement. Now, it must have been there doing this for about 40 years, so ever since the house extension was put there. And for all that time, the water had been leaching away the soil from underneath the patio and, as I say, caused the patio to move a little. Now, the cost had been counted and, you know, I just could not afford to get anybody else to do the work for me. I had to do it myself and I had to have the strength and the vision to see the work through. Now, at last, now I've actually connected a new plastic connection to the bottom of the downpipe and a plastic pipe to take the water right away across the patio, through the wall and away from the house. And, you know, with the 3 or 4 inches of rain we've had just lately, that was a tremendous sight to see that water pouring over the end of our little bit of guttering there at the end of the pipe. Now, we've got it all sorted out. We've got the system to take the water away from the house, and it's not going to cause any further damage to the wall. Now, the work involved a degree of perseverance. It required sticking to the vision of seeing the work completed, and it will be completed because, you know, I'm nearly there now. There's not a great deal more work to be done now for this particular stage of the work. However, there is still a greater task ahead of me, and it's ahead of each one of us. It requires each one of us to have the fortitude and the perseverance to follow through with our commitment to follow the example of our elder brother that he has shown us. And it is to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22 that we must now turn. In this verse we find two statements, but it is just a second statement that I want to focus on. Now, as I said before, I don't want to trivialise the subject, but there is no point in starting a project or undertaking undertaking any task unless we are going to be prepared to see it through to the end. Because as Jesus Christ said, it is he that perseveres right to the end that will be saved. So let's just read these words in Matthew from chapter 10 and beginning in the second half of verse 22. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. You know, according to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, I won't try to give you the Greek word, but it's Greek. The Greek word is number 5278. And this word that is rendered as endureth has a meaning that includes remaining under the authority, no matter what, to bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere, and to endure. Now, that's a pretty wide definition. Now, it's a definition, and it's this particular vision that we have to have before us of enduring to the end, of completing the task that we've begun. Now, Martin Luther King only had a dream. I have a vision. Like you, I need that vision. I need the fortitude, I need the perseverance to overcome every obstacle in order to realise that vision of being at that wedding supper with a garment of pure white linen as my wedding attire. It is to those who endure to the end to whom the prize is given. And it is the prize that has to be the vision.